Well, good morning, everybody. I want to give a warm welcome if you are visiting this weekend, and you can join our family at Bethel here today. And special greeting to those who are joining us on the live stream as well. Now, why do we call it Good Friday? What is good about this day? So if you were to owe a large amount of money to somebody, and then somebody else came and paid that money for you, that would be good. But what if you owed your life, and then somebody else were to give their life in your place so that you wouldn't have to? That would be really good. So on this Good Friday, we remember the love of Jesus, so deep, so wonderful, so incredible, that he went through a massive amount of suffering and pain to lay down his life so that we could live. And he completed the work that he came to do, and he cried out from the cross. We see these words, "It is finished." And so this King Jesus, he laid down his life for us. And the proof of God's amazing love is that even when we were sinners, that Jesus died for us. We rightly deserve the wrath and punishment of God, but Jesus took our place, and he bore the wrath of God on himself when he died on the cross. And this was for us. And this is good news. This is the best news. And so we're going to briefly look at John chapter 19. If you have a Bible, if you want to pull out your phone, John 19. We're going to see what kind of king Jesus is, cruelly crowned, the rescuer rejected, the king crucified. This past Sunday, we remembered Palm Sunday, where Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And the prophet foretold, saying, "Behold, your king is coming." So let's get a portrait of King Jesus from John 19. We'll start with verses 1 to 3. Jesus here is before the Roman governor. John 19, verse 1 says this, "Then Pilate took Jesus and had him whipped, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a purple robe on him. They came up to him saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they struck him with their hands." The soldiers, they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Here, the king is crowned. This was meant to bring shame and humiliation on Jesus. The soldiers mocked him, but Jesus didn't say a word. Look down at verse 14, John 19, verse 14. "Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. Pilate said to the Jews, 'Behold your king.' And they cried out, 'Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!' And Pilate said to them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' And the chief priests answered," they said this, "'We have no king but Caesar.' So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull." The king is rejected. Pilate makes the declaration, "Behold your king," but the people reject Jesus, saying, "We have no king but Caesar." Rather than humbly receiving Jesus as king, they rejected him, choosing rather to have a foreign king rule over them who would mistreat them and oppress them. John would write earlier in his book in chapter 1, he said this, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." And this is talking about Jesus, the true light. He said he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. The king is rejected. Back in John 19, starting at verse 18, and then we'll read 28. Says John 19, 18, "There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross, and it read this, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' And many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, 'Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.' And Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.'" Then I believe verse 28, "Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, 'To fulfill the scripture, I thirst.' And a jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit." And here we see the king is crucified. Who is this hanging on a cross? Even in his death, the words are written above him, and they declare, "This is Jesus of Nazareth. He is the king." The religious leaders and the people, they called for Jesus to be crucified. According to their rules, Jesus deserved death. He had claimed to be God, and because of that, he deserved death. This was blasphemy in their eyes. But they couldn't put Jesus to death, and so they had to ask the Romans to do that. This was God's plan, and so the king, Jesus, was crucified. He was lonely. He was suspended above the ground in excruciating pain, blood pouring out from his wounds, nails in his hands and feet, his back beaten and bloodied, that crown of thorns pressed into his head. And he did this to bear the wrath of God against sin. And that was for our sin. Our King Jesus, who is crowned, rejected, and crucified. But to all who did receive this king, to them he gave the right to be called children of God, and we can, by his grace, be part of God's family. We can be in the family of the king if we would receive him, if we would believe in him. And this is our king. Is he your king? This one that we remember today so cruelly and brutally put to death, but that was for us.